reading from King James today, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3, 4, and 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. As long as we are confined to our little churches and our fellowships, and as long as we stay pretty much with the people who think the way we do, we may not be conscious of the warfare that the Apostle Paul is talking about in this passage in Corinthians. And we can talk about the healing of the sick and the casting out of demons and the power of God and all kinds of wonderful things, but it's all theory and it's not challenged. It's never put to the test in any serious way. But when we begin to move out of our fortresses and when we go forth from our confined groups, when we start to preach the gospel, not to each other, but to the world, and in the name of God start to mingle with people who don't think the way we do, and have no respect for our scriptures, and never say praise the Lord, we begin to discover that it's not quite as simple as we thought, and that there is indeed a war going on. The enemy who long ago managed to destroy the simple faith of Adam and Eve is still at work. And he's not just at work in the alcoholic who's bound to the alcohol, or the addict, or the person whose sexual drive is swollen out of proportions, but he's also at work in nice people, decent people, Christians, people like ourselves. And the place where this warfare goes on, particularly, is in the area of the mind. The enemy moves in and begins to lure the mind away from reality. He begins to inspire the mind with vain imaginations and to puff it up with false arguments, often called knowledge, and often scriptural knowledge. And he begins to twist the mind in upon itself so that we begin to indulge in all kinds of subtle self-idolatry. And he says to us, just what he said to Adam and Eve, go and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It will make you wise. It will make you like God. And the minute we do this, our minds are wrapped in chains. Now, when somebody's mind is wrapped in chains by Satan, he's not crying out, oh, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this mental bondage. He doesn't even know that he's in bondage. He considers himself free. She thinks she's liberated. The alcoholic, for instance, may admit that he has a few problems, but he will never admit that his mind is bound. And the religious phony may admit that she has some anxieties, but she never admits that her mind is bound. Never. And no matter what form this mental bondage takes, the one thing everybody has in common who is bound up by the chains of the enemy in the mind is that the mind is somehow taken up with some false knowledge or some kind of vanity, to the extent that it is no longer able to reach out and take hold of the reality of God. Now, if it's true that Satan moves into the area of the mind, it's also true that when our Lord comes to deliver us, he moves also into the area of the mind. And he begins to bring up against all these false arguments the reality of God and confronts the mind with God's reality. He touches those vanities and those high arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, who begins to experience the power of Christ coming against these lies that wrap his mind, finds himself face to face with God, whether he likes it or not. For instance, the Pharisees and scribes were men of tremendous knowledge. Knowledge of the scriptures, knowledge of history, knowledge of Israel's destiny, knowledge of prophecy. And it was this knowledge which became, in fact, a stronghold of the enemy because it was based on vanity. When our Lord came, he began to bring up against all this phony knowledge a very simple message that was so clear that it cut right through to the heart. And people, whether they liked it or not, had to acknowledge this man speaks with authority, not as one of the scribes. He didn't argue, and he didn't threaten. He simply spoke in the spirit of his Father, and the strongholds of the enemy fell, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God came down, and people knew that they were face to face with a living God. When a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him the armor wherein he trusted and divides the spoil, and that's exactly what happened. And people, whether they wanted to or not, had to acknowledge that Jesus had his authority. We know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these works which you do except God be with him. And so we see, in the case of our Lord, and truly in the case of every disciple who has ever come after him, that these lies which bind the human mind down to this day have to be cut through with a power which is not carnal, which is not simply flesh knowledge, which is not of this world, but is of God. And no other power will do the job. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And unless we have that kind of power, we are in no shape to withstand the attacks of the enemy against our minds, much less deliver anybody else's mind from bondage. And we have to be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves whether in fact we have that power. Whether indeed the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That God is pouring out this power upon his church at this hour, of this there is no question. No question. We have seen in this flock, in the last month, more breakthroughs than we've ever seen at any other time. People that have been dealt with for years have come into the kingdom. It's been almost a daily thing. You know, last Sunday, Brother Peters came into the kingdom. And I guess it was Tuesday, somebody called up and asked the Lord into his life, somebody who got literature downtown and from his office downtown, just was at the end of his rope. And it's been almost a daily thing. People coming close to the kingdom, coming back to it, manifesting that God has dealt with them. And this is nothing other than an evidence of the power of God. And we know that this isn't just going on here. This is going on all over the place, especially among those people who are content to let their ministries be covered with God's hand so that no glory goes to them. This power is being poured out upon anybody. Doesn't matter who they are, provided that they make themselves available and put themselves in a position to receive. And what I mean by this is this. The power of the living God for this warfare of the mind is given first of all to those men and women who are dead. who are dead to self. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Don't you know that as many as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death? You are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. So that we're no longer trying to prove that we're right. We're no longer trying to vindicate ourselves. We're no longer trying to defend our position. We're no longer trying to establish some kind of kingdom. We're dead. If we're dead, we can't be doing this. And the only hands that are safe to contain this kind of power from God are those hands which are truly dead. Thus, we see that when the power of God begins to move in our ministries, and we become conscious of it, and then we allow ourselves to become puffed up by it, we discover that the power of God withdraws. And it will do it every time. And if any kind of power remains with me when I'm puffed up in myself and trying to establish myself as something great, that power cannot be God's power. It can't. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I dead? And am I willing to stay dead? And am I willing that the power of my Lord's death should work in me constantly, all the time, through circumstances, through the Word, through the Spirit Himself, directing death against me, that life may flow out of my mortal flesh? Secondly, the power of God for the warfare of the mind is given to those men and women who are meek. Paul begins this 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians by saying something like this: I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and tenderness of Christ. And Jesus says to us, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And it is only in that meekness that the power of God is saved, really. There are lots of people who are either openly or very subtly claiming to be vessels of the power of God. But if they are not meek, and if they are still trying to establish themselves as God's man of the hour in some way, or God's woman of the hour, if they're still in some way trying to prove that they are right, if they are not daily divesting themselves of everything of flesh and everything of self and of vanity, daily going down and being undone, then whatever power they have cannot be the power of God. It has to be carnal or it has to be satanic, but it can't be of God. We have to ask ourselves whether we are willing to be taught, whether we are daily learning to be meek. Aggressive in God, yes. Bold before men, yes. Strong, yes. And yet constantly meek before the influences and directions of the Spirit of God, so that we are no longer, anymore, allowing ourselves to rise up and try to defend self and assert self and make things go my way. The power of God for the warfare of the mind is given to those who are men and women of prayer. This should go without saying. We shouldn't have to talk about it. And yet how many of us still subtly in our hearts seem to have the idea, yes, prayer would do me some good, but I'll muddle through anyhow. Doesn't matter. And that's a lie. Our Lord taught us to pray not so that prayer would round out our spiritual life. Our Lord taught us to pray because without prayer, we can't possibly survive. There is no way. He taught them this parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray without ceasing. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, until we learn that prayer is absolutely and utterly essential, that we cannot possibly live without it, any more than we can live physically without breath and air. Only when we learn that lesson and we are disciplined in this area can the power of God begin to move freely in us. And finally, the power of God for the warfare of the mind is given to those who hear and obey. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Spirit is saying things to the churches that are being missed because we're not listening. Most of us are afflicted with this disease where we're so busy trying to make people hear our truth that we're not listening to God's truth. They, on the good ground, are those who in a good and honest heart, having heard the word, keep it. Many of us are inclined to listen at certain times and in certain places. And then after we've heard what we, got some more truth, we turn off the listener and we open our mouths and we talk. But God, I believe, is calling us to be listening constantly, even if we're talking. And if we're truly listening, we'll know when to stop talking. Constantly listening, day in and day out, listening and doing what we're told. Then we will receive every day afresh the power that we need to do battle with the enemy as he afflicts and assaults us, and as he afflicts and assaults those around us. There are only two kinds of ministries that are going forth today. The first is that of men and women who are claiming high things for themselves, and who either openly or in implied ways are acting as if they are custodians of final truth. And I believe that from these ministries, underneath all the ballyhoo or all the false humility, very, very, very little is happening. The other is the ministry of those men and women who make no claims, imply no claims, wouldn't even dare make a claim for themselves because they're dead and they're meek and they're praying and they're listening and they're obeying. And everywhere they go, the strongholds of the enemy are falling. God grant that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, we just ask that you would teach us, make us to see in such a way that we can't possibly forget how deadly, how awesome, and how final is the war that is now being waged within us and around us. And in those areas, Lord God, where we are asleep, wake us up at whatever the cost. Pray, Lord God, we pray that you just deliver us from every form of self-righteousness. Make us strong in your own strength, Lord Jesus. Wise with the wisdom that comes not from earth but from heaven. Patient, compassionate, merciful, but not giving Satan one inch, that we may be effective in the battle which will soon be over. And that when it is over, Lord God, that we may be still with the Messiah. We ask it in his name. Amen.